From the Center for Investigative Reporting in PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. Every summer, there's a mad scramble at the Wayne County Treasurer's Office in downtown Detroit.
Just to let you know why everybody is up here right now, the fire marshal only allows a certain amount of people on the fifth floor at a time.
A couple hundred people are waiting in this giant ballroom. Like Detroit, the crowd is mostly African American. They've come here because they have unpaid property tax bills that are at least 3 years old, which means the county can foreclose on their properties and sell them at an auction.
We are going to foreclose the properties tomorrow. So if you make a payment at the kiosk, your property will not be foreclosed. That will be posted before then.
This is the last day to avoid all that. People can pay what they owe in full, or they can get on a payment plan that breaks their debt into monthly payments. Latifa Pace owes more than $10,000 in back taxes.
So they're asking for $750 today. My payment plan a month would just be like $211. So it saves my home for today by being the deadline by 4:30 today. So I'm pretty much safe.
Safe by paying $750 up front and $211 a month for 5 years. It's hard to imagine if you're not from Detroit. But here, tax foreclosure is on everybody's mind. A third of the properties in the city have been tax foreclosed since 2008. Homes in majority black neighborhoods have been 10 times more likely to be at risk of tax foreclosure than those in other neighborhoods. The impact of that looks a lot like what African American homeowners have been experiencing throughout the country's history, a systematic and catastrophic draining of wealth. And it all started with an epic level of tax delinquency in the wake of the mortgage crisis. Today, tens of thousands of Detroit homeowners are still feeling crushed by the tax debt they owe the government. Caught in a cycle of debt, paying off old taxes, only at the cost of falling behind on new ones. Independent producer Mark Betancourt and the Detroit News analyze massive amounts of data to find out where all this tax debt is coming from. What they found was that hundreds of millions of dollars never should have been billed in the first place. Mark introduces us to one woman who's been at the threat of foreclosure for years.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
You know
Cynthia Windham is the sort of person who calls you sweetie, even if she's only met you once, and you're there to interview her about her delinquent taxes. When I get to her house, her kitchen is full of people.
Fine, you got a whole party going on here.
Yeah, I'm doing here.
She's styling one woman's hair into shiny waves while another waits her turn.
You next?
Yes, hopefully.
Okay, gotcha.
Friends and neighbors and their kids wander in and out at will. Once the crowd clears out, Cynthia and I sit down in her living room to talk. She's lived in Detroit her whole life and moved to the Morningside neighborhood 10 years ago to be close to her daughter and granddaughter.
We all live within a mile of each other. So you know what, we can always get to each other right away.
It's a quintessential Detroit neighborhood with blocks and blocks of single-family homes and not much else. Things have really changed since the 80s and 90s when a lot of people owned their homes. Today, there are overgrown lots where houses used to be. Vacants are rotting on almost every block. And now it's mostly renters.
It's not one person on this block that owns their house but me and this man across the street when there used to be homeowners everywhere.
Cynthia is one of thousands of Detroit homeowners who only became homeowners after the recession. Her income is about $15,000 a year. And in most places in America, she couldn't afford to buy. But in Detroit in 2009, she got her four-bedroom brick house for only $5,000 in cash.
When I found this house, you know, I said, oh, my God. You know, how could I thought it was a blessing. Turned into a nightmare.
The previous owner lost the house to mortgage foreclosure during the subprime mortgage crisis when predatory lenders came into Detroit's black neighborhoods pushing loans they knew people couldn't afford. While it waited for a buyer, the house stood vacant and vulnerable to looters who completely stripped it.
It was not a radiator in this house. I couldn't even find them. The boiler was messed up. You know, they took all the registers, the copper and stuff off from the walls.
And she had another really big problem. She started getting the property tax bills.
They would send me twice a year, like $1,400 twice a year. So that's like $2,800 a year.
We checked her tax records, and she was actually billed over $3,000 a year. And this is on a house she had bought for just $5,000. She initially didn't pay those bills because she thought she was getting a tax credit. By the time she realized she was on the hook for that money, she was years behind, and the total was growing. The city of Detroit sells delinquent tax bills to Wayne County, and then the county tries to collect them. Just like any other debt collector, they charge interest, and it's steep, as much as 18%. By 2015, Cynthia's back taxes and interest added up to more than $14,000.
It kept going up, and then they sent me a delinquent. That's when a red flag went up, and I went crazy.
The only way Cynthia could avoid foreclosure was to get on a payment plan with the county. The plan gave her 5 years to pay off her debt and reduce the interest. Her monthly payment was $300, about a quarter of her monthly income from Social Security.
And you were paid it every month?
Every month.
That wasn't easy. While she was paying down her tax debt, she also had to come up with more money to fix constant problems with the house. Shoddy wiring, a broken boiler, a hole in the roof that let rain pour down through a bedroom and into her kitchen.
I have to budget everything. You know, I have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, and it's hard.
For Cynthia, homeownership isn't just about having a roof over her head. If she can hold on to the house and get it into shape, it could be a huge asset.
This would be something. If I could get it fixed up, maybe I could sell it, you know, and move into an apartment or something. But at least I could, or either if I keep it, I could have something to leave for my grandchildren, you know, something where they could always go, you know, if they don't have a place to go.
But for years, there's been something else wrong with the house, something Cynthia didn't even know about. It was the house's value, or rather, what the city claimed it was worth. By law, that assessment can't be more than half of what the house would sell for on the open market. Cynthia didn't know much about her assessments, but we looked into it.
So the city was saying that the house was worth over $60,000 in 2010. And you had bought it the year before for $5,000. So...
Wow, what's going on?
For 7 years, that value was triple what the city would eventually admit the house was worth. Based on that, we calculated how much Cynthia was overtaxed.
During that time, you were taxed almost $9,000, according to our very rough calculations, beyond what you should have been.
Oh my God.
So that's just the base tax. So that's not even taking into account all of the interest you were then charged when those
That's
taxes
right.
became delinquent.
That's right. And then, you know what, when I could have, you know, you don't know how stressful it is when your house is like literally deteriorating before you and there's nothing you could do about it.
Cynthia's situation isn't unusual. Between 2010 and 2016, we found more than 40,000 homes were charged at least twice as much as they should have been. Over those years, Detroit overcharged its homeowners by more than $600 million. You might be wondering how the city could get home values so wrong. After the housing crash in 2008, the average property in Detroit lost 3/4 of its value. But it took nearly a decade for the city to lower its assessments enough to reflect that. Taxable values are set by the city assessor's office, which for years was plagued by terrible record keeping, understaffing, and a lack of expertise. Then, in 2013,
it's official. Detroit is now the largest city in U.S. history to declare bankruptcy by far.
Detroit had run out of money. Emergency response times were through the roof. The streetlights didn't work. Catching up to the massive drop in property values after the crash was not a priority. But that same year, 2013, the Detroit News broke a story about the bad assessments. Suddenly, state regulators were on the scene. They forced the city to reappraise every single one of its properties. That hadn't been done in decades. The process wasn't finished until 2017. By that time, the city had been overtaxing homeowners like Cynthia for years.
They should have some kind of government funding to help people with serious problems in their house because they did rip them off. They should be accountable for something.
I asked the city's chief financial officer, Dave Masseron, why Detroit couldn't just pay people back for the taxes they were overcharged.
Has the city ever considered calculating how much overtaxed there was and refunding people for that?
So the city went bankrupt in 2014. There was a plan of adjustment that was approved by the bankruptcy that determined how we made investments going forward in large part. The bankruptcy was designed to be a reset so that the city could provide services at a particular level. And there is nothing in the plan of adjustment that provides for the repayment of any claim that was prior to that bankruptcy.
Masseron's point is that in order to make it through the bankruptcy, Detroit had to make a plan that involved meeting its obligations from now onward. And in order to do that, it couldn't afford to make up for past mistakes. That's what bankruptcy does. You get to wipe out your debts and focus on being better in the future. But the homeowners who were overtaxed didn't get a do-over.
Is it acceptable to allow people to actually lose their homes over taxes that never should have existed in the first place?
No one should lose their home, and we're continuing to work with people to figure out how to get them into the eligible programs.
65,000 properties, which are families' residences, are at risk of foreclosure.
Jackie Grant is the president of the Neighborhood Association in Morningside, where Cynthia lives, and she also helps run a program called Neighbor to Neighbor. It's made up of volunteers who use an app to go door to door, asking people if they need help navigating the property tax system.
You want to show me the app real quick?
Yeah.
Jackie pulls up a map on her phone that shows which houses in Morningside are behind on property taxes. At first, it's hard to tell what I'm looking at because the map is so riddled with multicolored dots, they almost blend together.
So it drops right in where we are.
Oh, wow.
So each is a parcel or a property.
And all the colored ones that are filled in are at risk of foreclosure? It looks like a at least a handful on every block.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say maybe there's 2,000, something like that, 2,000 properties that are at risk of foreclosure.
How many properties are there in Morningside?
There are 5,594.
Do you know a lot of people in Morningside who are on payment plans?
Yep, I do. But I also know a lot of people that fall off of them, too.
The plans were the government's way of lightening the burden of property taxes, and they have kept a lot of people out of foreclosure. But they haven't done much to help them get out of debt. We tracked the properties that were on payment plans back in 2016, and only about a third of them have paid off their debts or are close to paying off within the 5 years the plan gives them. Jackie's not surprised that so many homeowners are struggling. One in three Detroiters lives in poverty.
If you're making a decision about food, lights, water, but food primarily to survive, the taxes go on the back burner. And if the taxes are so high, it just becomes impossible.
If the city were to cut all delinquent homeowners a check for the amount those homes were overcharged, most of them would be able to pay off their current tax debt with that refund and have something left over. But that check hasn't come. While Cynthia was paying down her old inflated tax bills and all the interest they'd accrued, she was falling behind on her new ones, and the payment plan didn't protect her from losing her house over those.
When I went down there, they told me that the house is in foreclosure, which I didn't know.
Cynthia shouldn't be losing her home, and not just because she was overtaxed. It turns out she wasn't supposed to be paying property taxes at all. She's eligible for a full exemption on her taxes because of her low income. For years, the exemption was notoriously hard to apply for, and a lot of people still don't even know about it. While the city was overtaxing homeowners, an estimated 30,000 Detroit households qualified for the full exemption but didn't get it. Cynthia actually got the exemption in 2014, but she didn't know she had to reapply for it every year.
So I didn't get it done for 2 years. So that put my taxes back originally to where it was before. You know, I mean, it would have been cleaned up.
So you weren't paying your city taxes because you thought you were exempt from it?
Yeah. Yeah.
When she realized the exemption had run out, Cynthia reapplied and got it reinstated. But it's not retroactive for the years she missed. In all, Cynthia paid the county more than $17,000 to hold on to her house, only to lose it because of taxes she never should have owed in the first place.
You know, it's just not fair. It's not fair. I've worked since I was 18 years old, every day until I retired, you know. I don't know, and this is something I'm trying to do on my own. I just need a little bit help doing it, you know. It'll be one less abandoned house on the block.
The occupant of a foreclosed property can stay until they're legally evicted by the new owner, which could be the next step if someone buys Cynthia's house at auction. For now, she's basically squatting in her own home, waiting to find out what's going to happen next.
I'm between a brick and a hard place. You know, I've invested too much in this house in order for it to just, you know, be, you know, sold right from up under me. That would be devastating. That would be so devastating. Because, you know, if I really had the money to fix the repairs, then, you know, it could be a nice, solid house.
If Cynthia does lose her home, she'll lose the only financial asset she has and her only real way to grow wealth for herself or for her grandchildren. And she'll get nothing in return, even if the county sells it at a profit in the auction. Most foreclosed homes get bought up by investors, many of whom then rent them back to the people already living in them, the former owners. In this way, tax foreclosure has helped shift Detroit from a majority owner to a majority renter city. That swing was even more dramatic for African-American residents. If a landlord bought her house, Cynthia couldn't afford to rent it.
If you did lose it this year, where would you go? What would you do?
Probably with my daughter. I'd just give it up. You know, she has a big house, 5 bedrooms. She already have my room ready. But, you know, I don't feel like I'm old enough for that yet. You know, I don't... You know, I really don't. I want to be kind of independent.
Cynthia does have one last chance to hold on to her house. Detroit was sued by the ACLU and others for making the exemptions so hard to get. In a settlement, the city promised to let some foreclosed homeowners buy their houses back for $1,000. The program is called Make It Home, but by this point, Cynthia has her doubts.
I'm just hoping that this program is a good program. I really hope it's not something else that'll trick me, you know.
The solutions to tax debt that the government offers, the payment plans, the exemptions, they haven't been enough. That's partly because for people like Cynthia, falling behind on taxes is never just about a lost job or a leaky roof or an inflated tax bill. It's a lot of things all at once. It's hard to imagine the government doing so much damage, at least on this scale, in a majority white city with a lower poverty rate. But then, amidst all that, there are solutions that are working.
Hey, Cynthia, it's Michelle Oberholzer calling.
Michelle is a housing counselor calling from the Make It Home program.
We have good news, which is that your home was one of 527 homes that was accepted into the Make It Home program this year. Okay. So that means your home is safe. All the back taxes are cleared. It will not be auctioned
Thank
off.
God.
And it is on its way back to you. Okay.
Thank God. So I can continue my home improvement. Thank you so
yes,
much,
ma'am.
Michelle. You just don't know.
So you're...
mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Is that nice?
Yes.
Is that great?
Yes.
Michelle, I could kiss you.
It's a rare moment of elation in an otherwise very bleak housing crisis. The Make It Home program is expanding, and the city and county recently proposed a new payment plan program that could dramatically reduce tax debt for the poorest homeowners, if it passes the legislature. But that won't change the fact that tens of thousands of Detroiters have already lost so much and won't be getting it back.
Thanks to freelance reporter Mark Betancourt and the Detroit News for bringing us that story. So what happens when your neighbor loses their house and their neighbor loses theirs and on and on and on until your block is almost empty? In Detroit, what happens is you get the worst neighbor in town.
If you're next door to an abandoned home, it's very hard to get it torn down. And like I said, I've been asking and inquiring about it for over 10 years. And yeah, I'm frustrated with it. Got ready to start taking the loose myself brick by brick.
That story in just a minute on Revealed.